Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I am excited to be talking to you. I want to talk about the things that hold you back. So I have been on a journey with God for the past 2 years. And during that journey, he has been revealing some things about myself that I like and some things I don't necessarily like that he has been pruning and coaching me through, right? And one of those things is fear. And so as I've been on this journey, I have realized that there are 7 main fears that exist for women in particular, but I also see them appear for moms. So based on our specific roles, so for moms, for writers, for Christian women. So I want to talk you through that. I want to talk you through that a little bit today. The first fear that I see coming up is the fear of failure. So with the fear of failure, there is this natural inclination not to try because what if I fail? And whenever that happens, I want you to challenge those thoughts or whatever's coming up for you and causing you to think that way. And instead, I want you to turn that what if, instead of using it as a means to go down the negative spiral of what if I fail? What if it doesn't work? What if God does the impossible? That's how I want you to reframe it, right? Instead of what if I fail, what if God does the impossible? Because we know he can do it. The word of God tells us that he can. I believe it's Ephesians 3:20, where it tells us that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask, think, or imagine. Next fear that I want to talk about is the fear of success. So this fear says, oh my goodness, I know God has given me some awesome gifts and talents and skills. I know I can rock out this business. But if rocking out the business and becoming a 6, 7, 8-figure entrepreneur means that it's going to pull me away from my family, I don't want to do it. Right? So in this instance, you are already automatically assuming that because maybe you heard from a friend, saw it on a TV show or movie, or maybe you have past experience in this area where you have idolized the new role, idolized the new entrepreneur journey, and as a result, put your friends and family on the back burner. Now you have this fear like, oh my goodness, I could have this successful business, but it's going to be at the expense of my family. And the truth of the matter is, you don't know if that's true, but you have this fear. And so I think it's important that if you have a fear of success, that you take a moment to just sit and be quiet with God, right? Because we know that God has, he has so many things that he can do, right? He's the God of the impossible. We know he has a superpower that none of us have. He has the ability to transform hearts and minds. We can't do that, but he can. And so I invite you to sit down with him and just say, God, why is this coming up? What does this fear, what does this feeling, because you might not call it a fear initially, what does this feeling mean for me? Why is it here? Where did it come from? And he'll reveal it to you because I've done the work. I've done this. And he's revealed it to me. And so from there, I'm able to see the lie pretty clearly. It might have been in my peripheral in the past, but now it's right here in my face and I'm able to see it. And because of that newfound awareness, I'm able to confront it, but not just confront it with a cute little affirmation from the world, but I'm able to confront it with his word, because we know that his words have power, and we know that his word will never return to him void. The third fear that I'm seeing is this fear of change. It's, I got a habit, I've got these routines in place. They might not be serving me, but I'm not compelled to change it. I wouldn't give you a personal example of how God brought this to my attention. So I have this habit of being excited about his projects or his assignments, and then like them not ending the way that I want them to end, whether that be like through monetary gain or like business growth, whatever the case might be. And then being really salty about it afterwards. And so after my last summit, this came up for me, and I was like, that's not true. I don't do that. And he just pulled up on me, Holy Spirit. So yeah, this is what you do. Like, you don't see the results you want, and then you hide. But you also don't ask me for the results you want. You do it under this guise. Oh, I just want to serve the kingdom. I just want to do what you want me to do. When in reality, you want to serve the kingdom and you also want to be able to contribute to the family's income. And I was like, okay. It was so honest and so true. And I really had to sit with it. And so the next thing I talked to him about it, I was like, I hear you. I am grateful that you brought this to my attention. I was like, God, like, how do I give this to you? That was my first question. And my second question was, okay, God, how do I like fix this or take the next step or do whatever if I'm not compelled to? I have this awareness now, and I know that I've been lying to myself. And as a result, I've been hiding after these events. But there's no pain. Like, there's no inclination to change it right now. And so he just revealed to me that it wasn't up to me to make the change, which was so refreshing. It just had me boohooing because I think we could get caught up and we think that, oh, I've got to change my habits. I've got to put this new nighttime routine in place. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. When we can simply take the things that are bothering us, worrying us, causing anxiety, as the word tells us, and we can give them to him. And I just found that refreshing. I won't lie to you and tell you now, I'm like, oh, I'm automatically going to avoid hiding. Honestly, I don't even think I've thought about hiding since I had that transparent conversation with him. But now I know that I need to pray against it. Now I know that it's a possibility and it could come. And so now I pray for the courage and the willingness to drop it at his feet. I pray for the courage to be submissive, because sometimes it can be easy for me to fall back into old patterns, traps, and habits where I just want to do everything myself. I just want to do it all. And that's not his will. That's not the way the kingdom operates. We do things in partnership with God. The word of God tells us that he is the vine and we are the branches, and that apart from him, we could do nothing. We will not be successful. And so I think it's important that whenever you are encountering any of these fears, it doesn't necessarily have to be limited to the fear of change, any of these fears. Just remembering that fear is natural, but you don't have to experience it. It's something that you can give to him. I once heard, I think like there are like 365 instances where God tells us not to fear. My favorite can be found in Joshua, I believe it's Joshua 1:9, where he says, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. And so I've had to hide that in my heart to combat fear. I think we're on number four. So the fourth type of fear that I am seeing come up is this fear of uncertainty. Yeah, I think I heard you say start the business, but I don't know what it's going to look like if I like quit my job and start the business. And keep in mind, this summit is not a quit your job summit. It's not. It's answer the call and be obedient summit. And it's a reminder that if you put your confidence in God versus yourself, you're going to be able to accomplish great things because he's already like in your tomorrow. He's already seen it. He's already made a way. And so because of that, you can enjoy success because your God has already won the battle and has already done it. And he knows that you can do it. The next fear that I see coming up is this fear of not enough. Oh my goodness. This is like an ugly, sneaky fear because sometimes you might not say, oh, I don't feel like I'm not enough. But it might show up as perfectionism, or it might show up as imposter syndrome. I can't tell you how many times I have come into covenant with the fear of not enough just by saying, sometimes I just feel like an imposter. Granted, I don't know every word in this Bible by heart, but I'm pretty sure it does not say that I'm an imposter, right? It calls me chosen. It says I'm loved. It says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Not sure it says. Well, no, it doesn't say that I'm an imposter, but we come into covenant with these thoughts and these like pretty worldly phrases and concepts, not knowing how detrimental that they are, because the Bible tells us that the power of life and death lies in our tongue. So what you're speaking, that fear that you're acknowledging and making and coming into covenant with, those doubts that you are giving language to, I get it. Like every therapist under the sun tells you to bring all those things up and say them, but I'm encouraging you not to. You can say them to the Lord. I'm dropping this off at your feet, Lord, because I'm struggling with X today. I do that. You could do that, but don't come into covenant with it. Don't delay your breath, your blessing. Don't hinder your spiritual growth by using your words against you, by allowing your words to be used against you. It's a better way to phrase it. So, the next fear that I've learned about and acknowledged that I've had trouble with in the past is this fear of rejection. And if you are someone who feels called, and that calling causes you to need to pivot, you might not apply for the new job that God is telling you to apply for because you might think, I'm not going to get it. Why bother? That is fear. And that is the fear of rejection. And if you're experiencing that, I have pulled together some Bible and scripture based affirmations for you to use and speak over yourself on a daily basis that can help you combat those lies with the truth and with the word of God. So you can find those, I think it's 9 or 10 affirmations. You can find that in the replay pass. So definitely take a look at it if that's something that you struggle with. And then the final fear is honestly the reason why I think social media was created. Yes, all things have the power to be used for good and bad, but I think that social media just creates this environment where you can see people who may be or might be pretending to have it all put together and to be perfect. Social media gives you the opportunity to chime in on someone's life when that ain't your business. And so the last and final fear that I want to talk about today is the fear of criticism, or I've also heard some people call it the fear of others' opinions. And so with this particular fear, you might not post the video that God told you to post because you're like, I do not, like, I'm self-conscious about my nose. I don't know how other people are going to feel about it or if they're going to talk about it. Or I've got this huge zit. I don't know how other people are going to feel about it or talk about it. And so you will rationalize disobedience because of this fear. Because you're like, and basically what you're doing, what you're telling God is that I have made a value out of others' opinions and I hold their opinion above yours. And we know that we serve a jealous God. So, he ain't cool with that. He does not support idolatry. And so that's something for you to break covenant with and repent of and call God into that situation and ask for his guidance. He is a good and loving father. I'm thinking about, and I can't remember it verbatim, but I'm thinking about the scripture where he is saying, like, earthly parents give gifts, right? But he's so much better than earthly parents. And I think there's some mention of a snake. I can't remember the scripture specifically. I want you to know that fear is not your portion. I want you to know that while fear is natural, it's a human emotional experience, right? It's something that we all encounter. It does not have permission to be a hindrance, and it does not have permission to keep you away from your calling. I think it's important to acknowledge that fear is not some like little cutesy thing. Fear, sometimes it's just fear, but sometimes it's the spirit of fear, which is something completely different, which is working behind the scenes and serving to keep you from purpose. And so it's important that you acknowledge it. It's important that you repent. It's important that you speak God's truth over your life. So replace those negative thoughts or beliefs with the word of God, because the enemy will use fear to keep you stuck, to keep you bound, to keep you as a prisoner, to keep you captive. But it is important to remember that God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but instead, he has given you power, love, and self-control. You have the power. You have power over this. Fear is not your portion. It's not what he had planned for you. He knew you would experience it because he's God and he's all-knowing. But that's why he reminds us throughout the Bible, do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. He knew we would experience it, but he also knows that what's in us is greater than what's in the world. And he knows the power, the capabilities, and the strength, the skills, the gifts that he's given us. And it's important to keep that in mind. Last thing I want to share with you is from today's quiet time. I was taken back to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. This is a place that the Lord has had me study in the past. So I was happy that he took me here because I knew what I was reading, basically. I was like, okay, we've been through this. So I knew that he wanted me to go deeper and had something more to share. And the biggest takeaway for me today was the importance of sharing this with you. Chapter 32, we have Hezekiah, the king of Israel, and we have Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And Sennacherib is invading Israel. So Hezekiah says, okay, he think he's going to invade Israel? He's not getting on water. So he stops up all the springs so they can't get any water. And the people are afraid. They are afraid of what's to come. They are afraid of the king of Assyria. And we know that we need to trade our fear of man for the fear of God. So here in chapter 32, verse 6, Hezekiah says to the people of Israel, then he encouraged them, saying, verse 7, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged before the king of Assyria or before the large army that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. He has only human strength, but we have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. So the people relied on the words of King Hezekiah of Judah. So I'm saying the same thing to you today. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged before that thing that is causing you to be fearful and whatever type of fear you find yourself experiencing. Instead, remember that you have the Lord your God on your side. Deuteronomy 31 and 6 tells us that we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid of them. We've got God, and He will never leave nor forsake us. I think that's just an important reminder. And it's also another piece of scripture for you to bury in your heart or hide in your heart if you find yourself struggling with any of the seven fears that I just talked about. So, as we read a little further down in this chapter, verses 9 through 19 are of the king of Assyria, King Sennacherib, and his soldiers heckling the children of God. They're heckling Israel. And they're basically telling them that they're going to conquer them and that their God isn't going to do anything about it. They're going to conquer them just as their ancestors have done before them. And so they're stating their case, and they're trying to make the people of Israel believe that God has no power and that He will not rescue them. But we know that's not the truth. And I think the enemy is trying to do the same thing for the children of God today, who are called according to God's purpose, right? He wants us to believe that whatever that fear is, whatever that nagging voice in your head is that's telling you not to do what He's commanded you to do, He wants us to believe if we do it, we're not going to be successful. He wants us to believe that God has forsaken us, which we know is not true. He wants us to believe that He won't rescue us. He wants us to believe, if we read a little further, He wants us to believe that He has the power, but He doesn't. We already know that God has defeated him. And so in verse 18, we see the soldiers of King Sennacherib continuing to heckle the people of Israel. Then they called out loudly in Hebrew. So they're using their own tongue, right, to come against them. And this was one of those like aha moments for me. And it made me think of Psalms 120, where David is talking about, he's asking God to rescue him from the lying tongue and the deceitful lips. And it made me think of, you're going to hear from Rima today too. She's one of your speakers as well. My mentor, Rima, gave this powerful session, I want to say it was last summer, where she talked about Psalms 20, and we did like this deep dive Bible study. And what she mentioned is that sometimes we want to curse the enemy and think that the enemy is outside of us. But what she said was that this is important for us to acknowledge that sometimes the enemy is you. Sometimes the lying lips, those words that are coming up against the word of God, they're coming out of your mouth. And I just thought that it was interesting. I made that connection when it says that they called out in Hebrew to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten and discourage them in order that he might capture the city. And so that capture the city part came up for me as well, because I've been studying parts of Joshua. And what keeps coming up is just the importance of possessing the land. We know that we have a divine purpose. We know that God has promises that he will fulfill for us, right? Joshua 21:45 tells us that his promises never fail. So we know that's true. But sometimes we lose sight of that. And sometimes we allow the lies of the enemy to pull us away from purpose. And so as I was going through Joshua, I just kept reading about our inheritance, right? Our inheritance from God. That's our inheritance. Our inheritance is our inheritance. No one can take it from us. But because the enemy is here to lie, to kill and to steal, he can steal it from us, right? If we give him the power. And does this mean that it won't ever be realized? No. We know God's word can't return to him void. But the thing about the enemy is, if you have given him permission to steal something, if you've come into covenant with any of those fears, you got to remember that you have the power of God inside of you, and you have the power to snatch it and take it all back. You have to remember that we have weapons. We have weapons of warfare, right? The word of God tells us to put on the army, excuse me, put on the armor of God, right? And so we have the armor and we have these weapons that my mentor Raven shared with us. And I want to share it with you here today because I think they're going to help you combat fear if you're experiencing it. So the first weapon is praise and worship. I think we underestimate the importance of praise. And sometimes we just think about praise when we're excited or we're happy and when we want to glorify and thank God for something. But we need to remember the importance of praise, of using praise, even when things don't look the way that we want them to look, right? So there's praise and worship. There is praying in tongues, so using our holy and heavenly language. There's fasting. There is praying. And there's a fifth one that's escaping me right now. All right, so let's run through that list of the five weapons. So we have prayer, we have the word of God, we have fasting, we have speaking in tongues or your heavenly language. So let's go through those five weapons. We have praise and worship, we have prayer. All right, let's go through this. Okay, let's go through those five things. Let's go through those five weapons. We have prayer, we have the word of God. We have praise and worship. We have praying in your heavenly tongue or speaking in your heavenly language. And we have fasting. These are our weapons. This is what we can use to speak life over our situation, to activate God's presence and his will within our situation, and to defeat the enemy. And so as you continue to read down 2 Chronicles chapter 32, in verse 20, we see that God does what he's good at. He shows up for his people because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he delivers Israel. Right? And so it says in verse 21, and the Lord sent an angel who annihilated every valiant warrior, leader and commander in the camp of the king of Assyria. Annihilated. That means gone. Adios. No more. You exist no more. And just as he showed up for the people of Israel in this instance, he still shows up today. And so if you follow the verse of the day in the Bible app, that today's verse was Ephesians 6 and 12. Which reminds us that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but of principalities and of rulers of the dark world. And so I think it's important to acknowledge that because we can get caught up and think, fear's nothing. Like it's an emotion, it's natural. And we can come into covenant with these ideas and these principalities that we have no business coming into covenant with. It's important that whenever we're faced with fear, we do what the people of Israel did in chapter 32, right? They heard the heckling. Because they heard the heckling, I'm sure they had some thoughts, right? Doubt might have tried to creep in, but it tells us that they relied on the words of the king. And so I want to challenge you to rely on the words of your king. When he tells us, do not be afraid, don't be afraid. When he tells us to be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. When he tells us not to have any fear because he is going with us and he will never leave nor forsake us, we have to take him and accept and believe his word. I love that they use prayer. Because we just talked about it. That's one of our weapons. And it reminded me of Psalm 34. I'm just looking at my notes. And so definitely take a moment to read that on your own. But I think it's important to remember how they responded to fear. I didn't want to just come on here with a couple of slides and talk you through, oh, the seven types of fear that I'm seeing and leave you with nothing. Instead, I wanted to share what I've heard, what I've learned. I call it hard won wisdom from the Lord, mostly due to my like disobedience and hard-headedness. Nevertheless, I wanted to share that with you so you can experience a quantum leap and get over this fear and move past it faster than I did. So I hope today's session has blessed you. I hope that the next time you find yourself confronted with fear or doubt, I hope that rather than leaning on your own understanding or defaulting to old patterns or habits, that you will instead resort to prayer, use your weapons. I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithful love, which casts out fear, God. Thank you that as your children, we do not have to settle for a life filled with fear, shame, or doubt, because you have given us power over all of them. Your word tells us in Romans 8:1 that there is no condemnation in those who believe in Christ Jesus, God. We love and believe you, so we accept and we claim freedom from condemnation. We claim freedom from shame. We claim freedom from fear, God. We claim freedom from anything that is not like you that would serve to keep us bound, God. We thank you that joy and peace are our portion, God. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, that you have already gone before us and prepared the way. And all we have to do is trust in you, Lord. All we have to do is believe your word, which you have left us as a reminder. And remember that your word will never fail. Your promises will never fail. We have to remember that you, Lord, are not a man that you should lie. And God, we thank you that your ways are not our ways. We thank you that your thoughts for us and your plans for us are not our plans, God. But we thank you that they will come to fruition because you are God and you are all powerful, God. We thank you that same power exists within us. And today, God, we take back what the enemy has stole from us as a result of us falling into the trap and falling prey to his snare and coming into covenant with fear, doubt, and shame, God. We decree and declare that all of the promises that you have set before us will be materialized on this side of heaven, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your will. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. We thank you for your grace and your mercy because we know without you, we could do nothing. We could do none of this. We wouldn't be successful, your word tells us, Lord. And so we just thank you for answering our prayers, even those that we don't know to ask. We thank you for going before us, God, and giving us victory over fear and doubt. We thank you that your calling over our lives will come to pass, God. We thank you for being a promise keeper and a way maker. In the mighty and majestic name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.